from an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Michael Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs of security for show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show today.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We can thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. The contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Dennis, how are you doing? The thumbs up?
Are you giving him any tongue at all, Clarissa?
Oh, she put the thumb up.
Clarissa has DSLs? Yeah, I think so.
I agree, Houston.
I don't know if I'd want those L's S-ing my D after those L's have been kissing Dennis. Okay?
Yeah. You know, I couldn't have said it better myself.
The Don and Mike Show.
For all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi. 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 Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
No, it's great. No, it's really, really great.
What's
that? Mike's microphone is not plugged in. No, that's not what I was...
That's not it.
That's not it. Mike?
Oh,
now, are you doing that as a goof? No, yeah, I see you're holding up two. I know you're on microphone number two. Oh, look. Someone has eaten through the cord.
Wow.
The station rat has eaten through the cord. Anyway, Buzz, while we're waiting for Mike's microphone to be fixed...
Yes, what's really great, Don?
What's really great is seeing you guys every freaking day of the week.
Yeah.
We saw each other Friday,
uh-huh.
Then Saturday morning,
right.
Then all day Saturday, then Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
Then all Sunday morning, then
right.
An airplane ride together,
mm-hmm.
Then yesterday afternoon we said goodbye, and here we are again.
Hey, how you doing, man?
All of us together.
Yay.
That's what's great.
That was really... How's everybody doing today?
Oh, my God. What a mess. You know, why do these things happen when we leave the... We're out of the studio for one day.
Uh-huh.
And we come back. How has the station managed to stay on?
I have never seen what I just saw. Someone has cut the microphone
like
line.
Vandalism.
Like vandalism. That couldn't have happened any other way.
I would take that mic as a personal affront.
Uh-huh.
A personal affront?
I think so. I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
What happened is, I think... Weeks and weeks of usage, it went wrapped around and gotten really tight, and maybe Patrick Goss gave it a good tug, and it just gave. All he knows is, great to see you guys again.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How do ball players do it?
Here is Phil Hochberg.
Oh, Rob, did you have it open?
I did, but I need to hear Phil first.
Oh, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Phil, as a matter of fact, sent you guys a message because they missed you on Friday.
What's that?
He said he loves your show, listens all the time, and even though he doesn't have a pen, could you sign his shirt? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Wood, and all the ships at sea. Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! It's
now.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, thank you, Robin. Hello, everybody. Back at home, a new episode on Monday.
Indeed.
April 30. Yeah, great to see you guys.
Hi.
Yeah,
I'm glad I got a chance to go home for a couple hours and cut the lawn. This is a layover.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Glad I got to go home and shoot that stuff at the wasps.
The raid wasp and hornet killer.
That's the first thing I got as soon as I walked in the door yesterday. As soon as I walked in, I'm still wearing my suit. I walk in and she says, "You never sprayed the wasps outside."
There you go. Get right to it.
I said, "Well, hi. It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you for 3 days. Spray the wasp's nest."
And then, like the wind, we'll be out of town again tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will.
My children are forgetting what I look like.
Great. More time with you guys.
Yeah. We did okay, though. There was the outside chance that it would have been total burnout already. And if that had been the case, then it would have been, the next 13 or 14 trips that we're taking would have been tough to handle. But I don't think we were able to laugh yesterday a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were a little bit.
As well as we could. Everybody was, kind of burned out, but what the heck?
Yeah. No, it was a great trip to the West Coast.
Now I know why, like rock bands
knife at each other, though. I mean, that sucks. Someday they could do it behind the music about us.
Yeah.
We'd all be interviewed and say bad stuff about each other. But we don't need behind the music because we've got this show and we'll be saying bad stuff about each other.
Of course we will.
For the whole show today. We want to thank everybody in both Sacramento and in Reno for coming to our live Las Vegas style shows that we did this past weekend out there.
We can't even begin to thank everybody for doing that. I mean, it makes us feel fantastic to walk out on stage to that many people. It's great. It's indescribable. It really is a lot of fun.
It's magical.
It is magical.
As Rob described his Ativan.
Yeah, Rob was really becoming the Elvis of this show.
His attack, his pills.
Uh-huh. Right.
Rob takes his pills and you take them because you're afraid of flying, right?
Yeah, you get all worked up.
Yeah, so he has like these tranquilizers, these horse pills that he takes. And at one point during the trip, he just looks at me and he says, "These Ativan, it's magical."
It is. I took him at like, what time was our flight? Like 9?
Yeah.
Took
You're
him at like
still,
8:30.
You are still, I will tell you right now.
Yeah, I haven't bounced back like you.
I can tell you right now that you are definitely, it's written all over your face. You're still, you got a little of that Ativan speech still. Like, yeah.
So it's like 8:30, I popped two of these little tiny pills, small.
Well, you didn't take any before the show today, did you?
No, no. Okay, no more than normal.
The bills are gigantic. They're ginormous.
Yeah. So I took these little pills, and like by the time I'm on the little movie people mover thing at Dulles, I feel okay. And by the time I'm on the flight, I feel like I've had a six pack. And for like 6 hours, it feels like you've had a six pack, then you're normal.
It's magical.
It's magical.
Magical.
I love better living through science.
Buzz, I know that you keep track of stuff like this. Yes. What was the final total, the amount of people who were at the place on Friday night?
This was great. 12,000 people at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater on Friday.
Now let me just interrupt you for a second. Because right. What I do best, interrupting. That's great because we were competing against the Asparagus Festival.
Yes, the Asparagus Festival and the Asparagus Festival was getting all the TV coverage. So we had that was tough to get the people out to that Sacramento Valley Amphitheater, which if you live in Sacramento.
It's not in Sacramento.
It's just a small plane ride from Sacramento. We decided, though, to do it by car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an hour away from downtown Sacramento, and of course the right-thinking people at KHTK gave us a hotel that was an additional 30 minutes away from downtown Sacramento.
We're talking about driving to get to this Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. We're talking about driving through miles and miles and miles of farmland. I mean, nothing out there. There is nothing out there. And we were delighted that many people showed up. It was fantastic.
But it was more time together. That was the great thing about it.
Right. Yeah, and we got to spend all of our time.
Yes, we did.
Together.
Yes, we did.
All of the long car rides.
I might have had the,
rides.
Now that I think about it, I'm probably, the reason I appear to be a little less burned is because I probably had the escape valve, which was going away. Yeah. Getting away from you guys.
You got to go play golf.
I want to thank everybody at the Montreux Country Club in Reno, Nevada, too. I was asked to say something nice, and they could not have been nicer to me out there. It is a beautiful place, and I was there for like 5 hours, so I didn't see you guys for 5 hours. It wasn't, you know, togetherness. It was wonderful.
That was 5 hours that Rob and I had together.
We did.
Rob and I logged a lot of time together on this trip.
Well, you guys hang together. You do so. You enjoy each other's company. But
works.
I think all of us, the day after the second show, we were, you know, it was too much weekend.
Yesterday, Sunday, yes.
Yeah, not enough recovery time.
Absolutely, but the shows were great. And Buzz, how many people showed up in Reno?
The last I heard, 3,500 at
that
the show
right.
in Reno
right.
on Saturday night.
I only wish that the show in Reno could have been as X-rated as the show in Sacramento was, because you know we always have to do it by whatever the local standards are.
Right.
And
right.
as it turns out, once again, we're shocked by the fact that in Reno,
mm-hmm.
smut city, that you can't have girls flopping their tees around on stage.
Well, no.
We were in Sacramento, we had total nudity.
Yes.
I'm talking about penis vagina nudity on stage.
It was a wild, wild,
wild
time.
What a wild, wild trip. It was great. Great shows. We had a great time. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Good night.
That's it.
Everybody's the same way today.
We're all very burnt out.
Everybody is just like, you know, sentences don't come easy.
No, they don't.
You know, we always like to pride ourselves on the fact that this is not a difficult way to make a living. But there are times when you realize just how difficult it is. You know, you and I.
We are wordsmiths. We are wordsmiths.
Yes, yes, you
today,
are.
Today we are, you know, what makes me laugh?
What? You and I are big ones for, like, we'll be going to one of these shows, and we'll be saying to each other, man, this is great. Like, you know, 3 hours, you know, an hour less, hour and a half less than the show, and we just get up on stage. Man, no problem at all. And then the first act is over, and we are just looking at each other like, Jesus Christ.
What are we doing?
This is tough.
We are wordsmiths, yet mentally we are mutes today. Seriously.
Entitled.
I feel like Keanu Reeves in that movie in The Matrix,
right.
when he's in the room being interrogated by the guy,
mm-hmm.
and he says, hey, man, I know my rights. And he says, really? Really? Neo, call out for help. And then he's got, like, that plastic stuff in his mouth.
He can't talk.
Yeah, he can't talk. Hello?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
let that be a testament to what a great time we had over the weekend.
We're not used to that. We're not used to going out somewhere and doing nighttime shows. And now that I think of it, when we do one of those nighttime shows, we normally need 2 or 3 days of recovery.
Yeah, we had two of them in a row. And the show Friday night at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater, which is not in Sacramento, we got the real rock star treatment.
Yeah.
When we arrived at this place.
Oh, it was so cool.
They had a big dressing room for me and a big dressing room for Mike.
Yeah, with our names separately on the on the door.
And then in the room in between, the sign said, Buzz, Rob, Charlie, Lisa.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And it was like
and like Mooks, we immediately like all went into Don's dressing room because we can't function with individual rooms.
Wanted to be together.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, and also
we went to the smallest one. We actually went to the smallest room, which was the closest one.
And then we had to wait while Mike fixed the lights.
Yeah, because the fluorescent lights were way too harsh for us, so I had to go to the other dressing rooms and steal lamps.
But we are such mooks. We are sitting back there. And it's about that time that we realize that this is like not like the normal nutty nightclubs that we play at.
Places where literally we have gone to the bathroom in a bucket.
This is a real place, and there are going to be real people coming to see us. And it was at that moment that we all kind of flipped out a little bit, that we walked out behind stage and we looked and we saw that the seats weren't full. This is about 2 hours before the show.
Right.
And we started like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What if we did, you know, what if we put on a great show and nobody comes?
Yeah, the goal was to get the seats filled under the pavilion, to get all the regular seats before they had to start putting people on the lawn. And that's about 8,000, the way I understood it, about 8,000 right. people. We said if we did that, it was going to be a success. Well, it'd be a success if we got, you know, even 5,000 people. But we wanted to fill all the seats, and we were all having a little bit of a meltdown.
We were scared, mm-hmm. and we were back in our dressing area. Now, keep in mind, as you mentioned, we really have been in a place where we've had to piss in a bucket.
We have. We've been in some of the... We have literally been in closets without furniture.
But now we're back here, that we've got a private refrigerated Coca-Cola cabinet full of all kinds of different beverages, and they're bringing us this sushi food, and they got big video games outside that don't cost any money to play.
Yeah, very exciting.
And there's tables everywhere, and there's people running around acting like they're important.
It's like where bands hang out, you know, right. Before concerts. It's exactly what it is.
And we were, frankly, we got a little flipped out about an hour before the show.
Yeah, we weren't really showing it to anybody, but we were, you know, it was definitely very exciting.
We were afraid, but fortunately, we thank God my bottle of courage finally arrived.
Yeah, and boy, was that a fire drill.
Okay, so listen to this. They've got everything set up in this dressing room. They did a fantastic job, the people in Sacramento and in Reno. We'll talk about that in a second. But in the Sacramento dressing area, they had everything except VODKA.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed a drink before we go on. Sorry, I'm a weak person. I need a drink before I go out on stage.
We don't always do that before the radio show, though. only some of the time.
We didn't today.
No, we didn't today. We took a break today.
No drinking today before the show. So everyone else is enjoying the beverage of their choice, and I was sitting there, and frankly, I don't like being the only guy not drinking when everybody else is drinking.
Yeah, I didn't see any real need to. I was confident that they would find what you were looking for, so I really didn't see any need to wait myself.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
I dove right in.
You didn't. So everybody's enjoying this, and I said to somebody, one of the people from KHDK, hey, do you know, is there any, you know, booze for me here? And immediately,
booze.
This is funny, because they get into this whole thing on the walkie-talkies, where we hear the back and forth conversation.
Yeah, we have a crisis back here in the dressing area. Does anyone know where the vodka is? Over.
Then you'd hear,
vodka. Oh, my God, we forgot the vodka. Over. Get me to the main stage. Main stage.
Now, we are not in a place where you can find anything.
You
have to get a loaf of bread.
Yeah, it's out
where we are.
It's out in the middle of a bum ass. Mm-hmm. So we're really laughing.
That is, because it's funny. We hear on the walkie-talkies what they're going through to find this, and apparently it's in some guy's office.
Yeah, they can't get into his office, and we're listening to the conversations back and forth, and at some point, really, we started laughing. Like, this is all for us, really. It's all for me.
Very, very funny.
I got to have my vodka. Then finally, they came with the vodka, and not to, well, what the hell, there's no easy way to describe this. I really wanted the drink, and there was no way to open the bottle.
The metal cap wouldn't screw up.
Yeah, it was like, you know how there's supposed to be like the little ring at the bottom supposed to grab, and it opened?
Right.
It wasn't grabbing.
So Rob had to take his X-Acto knife or whatever he had, and actually, this is not too desperate, pound out a hole in the top of the metal cap that would not come off the bottom of the vodka.
It was almost like a shaker top on vinegar.
Yes, exactly.
To make it come out, it was like, squirt, 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 squirt.
Pour it out.
Pour it on it.
I was screaming at him.
Drink it on it.
On ice, Rob. On ice. On ice. Goddamn. But it was a great setup.
Yeah.
And when we went out on stage, we knew things were good. Friday night, 12,000 people, great sound system.
Wonderful. Best I think we've ever worked with. Best sound system. You know, it's funny that obviously that's the way it works. The best sound system for the biggest place we've ever been.
And for those who were not close enough to see the stage, they had the giant video monitors, and they had the guys with the cameras doing a great job of capturing all of the tomfoolery.
Now, did you ever get a look at one of those video monitors? I don't think we were.
No.
There was no way we could see them from where we were. You know, we would have been freaked out if we'd seen that, probably, with all the close-ups and all that good stuff.
But it sure was a great time, and like I said, goddamn, so many naked people, so much just, I mean, you know, even with guys coming pulling down their pants, you see the D and the B, and
yeah, it was everybody, you know, everybody feeling too much Friday night and just letting it all hang out.
And I was surprised when we got to Reno on Saturday that immediately the first thing we did was have this meeting with the guy from the casino we were at,
right?
And the first thing he says is, no nudity.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, like, wow, Jesus, we just did a show in Sacramento where people were in essence having sex up on the stage.
Right.
And now we can't, so that's why we had to do the show in Reno the way that we did it. It was not as explicit as we would have liked.
No, it wasn't, but it was a different crowd. I think the crowds are totally different in Reno and Sacramento. There's an undercurrent of anger in Sacramento, which people love to have a good time, but they definitely have that edge. They're very, very demanding. In Reno,
they lose complete and total control.
Well, also keep in mind that at the Reno show, they let people drink.
That's right.
Right. And at the Sacramento show, people had to, you know, sneak in the drinks in their car before they got in.
It was a blast. It really was. I mean, it was two nights of so much fun, and we thank the people of Sacramento and of Reno for welcoming us.
And before we take any calls, just in case there were people who were at both shows,
right,
let me tell you that on Friday night, when we said we like Sacramento better than Reno, we meant it.
Right.
And on Saturday night, when we said we like Reno better than Sacramento,
we meant it.
We meant that, too.
It's what we do whenever we go out there.
Not so, like Dennis.
There you go. No,
Dennis
doesn't
get it. So, we're in Reno on Saturday night, and Dennis is coming up for his part of the show. And, you know, we're doing the whole thing, you know, hey, Reno, how you doing, Reno? We bring Dennis up, and we say, hey, Dennis, which city do you like better, Sacramento or Reno?
Right.
If there's a bigger Larry King softball question, it's a softball the size of the moon that we've thrown him.
But when you threw it to him, I saw it in his eyes, which were wide open. He was terrified. He thought that he had to say something clever. And he didn't take it simply, and he blurted out, in Reno, I like Sacramento. And, you know, was immediately showered with booze.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about alcohol.
No, B-O-O-S.
Right.
It was amazing.
What a dope he is.
And that theater in the round is something where kind of difficult for us to be sneaky. You know, you and I like to occasionally up on stage, sneak over to a corner, have a laugh with Rob. No can do when you got that theater in the round.
No such corner. Plus, in Reno, no smoking allowed. What we want, the way we start the show, just have Rob come out on stage
and do his, you know, his little cigarette lighter a la Andrew Dice Clay.
Where Rob just lights a cigarette and smokes a cigarette for about 90 seconds and doesn't say anything. It is
it's a wonderful new way to start the show.
I mean, it slays us every time. Maybe just because we know the boy.
And he did it this time because he wasn't allowed to smoke on stage. He did it without the cigarette, and it still was funny.
Yeah, he was just running his hands through his hair.
Right. It'll be better when he does it with a cigarette.
Looking down at his shoes.
Checking his watch.
Oh, at the show on Friday night, of course, Homo Joe was there. Dennis Murphy was there. Saturday night, we were joined by Mr. 40.
Mr. 40 was there.
In Reno. Speaking of drunk.
Yeah, he was. He came up on stage, and I think the dead giveaway is that he had been drinking all afternoon was the fact that most of the beer in his glass ended up on the stage during his first few comments.
Hey, what about the names we had at the hotel?
Right.
Listen to this. So we're at the hotel in Reno. I know I'm all over the place. Just bear with me. I'm going to bounce between the two cities here for a while. When we were at the hotel in Reno, we figured that people would know where we were staying since, you know, the Silver Legacy was the place we were doing the show at. Mm-hmm. So when we checked in, we all checked in using fake names.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was Elvis Presley.
Right.
Mike was Marty Lacker.
Marty Lacker, one of the Memphis Mafia.
And Rob was Major Bill Smith.
Yes, of course.
So at one point in the afternoon, you were out playing golf.
Right.
I was going to call Rob. I wanted to see if he wanted to walk around and, you know, check out the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I called down to the front desk and I go, hi. It's funny. Bill Smith's room, please. And she comes back on. She goes, I don't have a Bill Smith registered. I said, no, I know he's here. I checked in with him. How about William Smith? The girl said.
So you didn't use the major?
But no, hold on. The girl says, I don't have a William Smith. I said, well, his real name is Rob Spiewak. He's with the Don and Mike show. He's here under an alias. She said, I'm sorry, I have no Bill Smith. And then I said, do you have Major Bill Smith? And she said, just a moment. She goes, I'll connect you.
Yeah, Major Bill Smith.
Major Bill Smith.
I got right through when I said Major Bill Smith.
Because they got, like, Major is the first name.
Right.
So when I call Rob's room later,
right,
when we're going to go on another one of our dream dates, we're going to go have dinner together, I call the lady and I say, hi, Major Smith's room, please.
Right.
And the lady says, is that his name? I said, yes, that's his name. And she says, well, that's odd. Was he in the service? And I said, yes, he was. He was in the service, and he legally changed his first name to Major.
Major.
She said, oh, that's so nice. I will connect you to Major Smith's room.
Major Smith. So now we can never use those again. Now.
I guess you probably went through the same thing I did when you were checking out. Did you enjoy your stay, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I got that all the time.
Did you enjoy your stay, Major Smith?
What were you in Sacramento?
Joe Esposito.
Joe Esposito. So you still had an Elvis name.
Yeah.
I was Buddy Rich in Sacramento.
I was still Major Smith. And it was funny because there was an ad in the Sky Mall magazine for a caller ID system that puts the caller ID's name on your television screen. And it's three Rebos watching television. And on their screen it says, Bill Smith, 555-1212.
And the bill, when we checked out at the Silver Legacy in Reno, at the top of my bill says Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley. Too much fun. Too funny.
Called down for a wake-up call. I go, hi, I need a wake-up call at 4 a.m. Yes, sir, Mr. Presley. Have a pleasant evening. too great. Oh, and, hold on. What about, I'm forgetting something else. Oh, the ride from Sacramento to Reno,
right,
on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
We're in this big, gigantic limousine.
We were, that would have been the height of our fatigueness. You know, that's when we had a little too much night the night before, and everybody was really, really dragging.
It was very quiet until you got the guy to stop his Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, that's one of the finest Krispy Kreme donuts. It was so brand new, Rob, and Rob, you know, suddenly got very excited. Said, look at that. We got the driver to stop, and after he got his gas...
Eight hours
turnaround.
Mike sends Rob in to get him some donuts. Rob comes out with the donuts and with milk, and he got us all Krispy Kreme hats.
Right.
You know those jive hats that they wear, those paper hats?
You didn't have one, did you? You didn't have one Krispy Kreme. Buzz, you broke down at a certain point.
Eventually, I had one, yes.
Right, and Rob and I think, finished the dozen ourselves.
I think we force-fed one to Lisa.
Yes, yeah, she had one.
Lisa was green around the gills,
yeah,
and so she needed that for her hangover.
And also, once she put on her feel-good hat.
Yes.
She started to feel better.
But the funniest part of that drive was not the donuts. It was our illustrious producer, Mr. Charles Loring Broyhill.
Now, keep in mind that we're configured in this limo like this. In the back seat, it's me and Mike. Then it's Rob, Buzz, and Lisa on the
side seat.
The side seat. Yeah. And on the other seat, parallel to where Mike and I are, is Charles Broyhill, and he's laying down.
Right.
He's sleeping. Now, he's got his headphones on, of course. Always had headphones on.
He's got everything on. He's got all his technical stuff.
He's got his phone plugged into one ear. He's got his pager. He's got his beeper. He's got his portable CD player. He's got a cassette player. And he's got like a million things coming in and out of his ears. And he's sleeping. And we noticed, and he made us laugh for a half hour in this car ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
That as the car would go around turns, his head, as he was sleeping, would turn the television on. And when the television came on, the volume was this loud! And it was just that fuzz because we couldn't get any reception.
Then he starts adjusting the contrast with his head, and he's sound asleep, rocking his head back and forth, hitting all the buttons, and we are laughing hysterically because he's not waking himself up.
No, but the TV is so goddamn loud.
Right.
Sounds like a sonic boom to us. Plus, every time the car turns a corner,
mm-hmm.
it's like you see Charlie's head move, and up on the TV screen you would see brightness,
yes,
sharpness,
right,
hue,
yep,
contrast.
He was the only one who slept on that trip, and we all probably should have.
And Lisa kept getting up to turn it back off after his head would turn it on, or to turn the volume down.
And he'd turn it right back on again.
His head would roll across the buttons again.
It was great entertainment.
He changed channels with his head.
Yeah. He changed channels. He adjusted the contrast with his head. It was amazing to watch. It really was.
I guess we must. We are starved for entertainment. But
we are.
It was about
funny.
About a half hour,
right?
We were all laughing our asses off every time Broyhill would move his head and he would turn the TV on.
And the Krispy Kremes, by the time we got to Reno, were already having their effect on me. I'll tell you that right now. The Krispy Kremes were with me for the rest of the day. I mean, you can't eat that kind of food without it lingering. A lot of oil involved in the making of that food.
And you've not lived until you've played blackjack with Rob Spiewak. Because when Rob plays blackjack,
right,
Rob becomes louder,
mm-hmm.
more boisterous than he is, and the guy who was the dealer, his name, how do you correctly pronounce the guy's name?
First thing I asked is, his name was, I think, R-A-M-E-L or R-A-M-E-L-L-E, and I said, how do you pronounce your name? Because I always like to talk to the dealers. He says, Rommel. I said, okay, let's do this, Rommel.
Rommel.
Turn him into the Desert Fox, the German general.
And it all gets back to the Nazis with Rob.
Rommel.
And Rob is, as we're playing this
game of blackjack, Robinson got the cigarette going, and when this guy is dealing the cards, he's going, come on! Come on, Rommel! Robbie needs a face card! Robbie needs a face! Come on, Rommel! Come on! Hit me with a small one! Hit me with a small one!
But it got worse. It got worse when we dealt with Sydney after the Las Vegas style show.
Sydney, our German blackjack dealer. Because it said on the bottom of his name tag where he's from, it said, Germany!
Wasn't it Stuttgart?
Yes, it was.
I like
was.
The way they do that, the way they put their country of origin and their city of origin on the end.
You know, if I ran a casino or, hell, a country, I'd require that. Everyone with a name tag with their country of origin.
Good time was had by all.
Yeah, I like watching Rob gamble because Rob never gambles for big stakes. It's always he had won some jackpot earlier at a slot machine, won like $150 or something. So he was playing with you know, house money. And Rob would always make the minimum bet, $5.
Right.
And then he would always, you're so goddamn, you're such a fag like this.
Yeah.
He would say, Rommel, or Sid, coin please, because he wants.
Silver please.
He wants the $5 chip broken up into little $1 silver things so he can make this queer extra bet that, it's just like playing poker with him. It's never
a royal match.
That's a great thing.
Okay. You're breaking it down to. Is this for odds that you?
No.
It's
something I'd never seen before, and they had it at our casino.
If both of the cards that he was dealt, for instance, were of hearts,
yeah,
then he would win his
three
extra.
3-2, I think.
He would win his extra little bet.
And it pays 3-2?
But the thing is, if you get two face cards of the same suit,
it pays 3-2 on 250.
No, it would pay 3-2 on $1.
$1.
But you get your money and then some.
So you make a $5 bet, you can make $1 bet on
it. No, it was better odds than that. It might have been 2-1. But here, let me finish, because if you get the two face cards, it pays 65-1.
If you get what?
Two face cards of the same suit, it pays 65-1.
Really?
Wow. But hold on, don't you see that when this is just like when we play poker with Rob?
Yeah, but see, I would have been sucked in if I was at that table. I would be sucked in as soon as he said the 65-1.
Just because
it's the slot machine mentality.
Right.
Your odds are very difficult, obviously. That's right. Why the odds are what they are. But so you never joined him on that?
Not only that, he got mad every time I did. He'd say, fag bet. Fag bet.
Slowing the game up, but the guy's coming around. Is everything right? Hold on. Silver, Sid, need silver.
Is there a different spot to put that bet down?
Yeah, you know how you have the little circle with the logo of the casino?
Yeah.
They're up at top, at about 2 o'clock. There's another thing that's
And if you put a $10 bet down, could you bet more on
that? Yeah, you can bet anything you want on that.
Really?
I think it's a dollar minimum on that.
Which is what you did every
dollar minimum. That's where he slowed the game.
The way I do my business is the way I do my gambling. Always do the minimum.
The minimum. So he would put his $5 bet out for the regular.
Right.
And then right as the cards come in, hold on. Silver.
So you could make a spag bet. So your silver dollars is what you
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't the gayest thing I did at the casino.
What was the gayest?
When I got a 50-1 payoff on the Big Charlie slot machine. The one they put at the entrance of the casino that's like 8 feet tall and got a 9-foot Joker's Wild handle on it.
Did you have people gather around and look at you as you collected your jackpot?
No, I mostly just took my money and got out of there because I realized, I said, I really look as stupid as I ever look.
When you're pulling that oversized handle?
No, I'm from around here. I'm not a tourist.
You know, really, it is designed, casino hotels, totally designed for the idiot.
And I find
bells, whistles, you know, come over here.
Right,
you know, the big glass case with the $1 million in it. You know, it's like everybody looking at the money.
I can't tell you how many hours Robin has spent in front of that case trying to figure out if that was real money or not.
Now, did he ever make a determination?
I was able to determine that it was stacks of paper faced with $20 bills. So there's only about $400 in there.
But it says that they got
sure look good, though.
Yes, sir.
Says they got $100.
Well, obviously, we had a great time.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Outside of the fact that we did a couple of live shows that thousands of people came to.
There were shows going on every day at all different hours. You know, you could have checked, if you really checked all the shows that were going on this trip, it kind of resembled a movie schedule.
Yeah, it did. Oh, the funniest, not the funniest, but another funny thing. As soon as we got to the hotel in Reno,
right,
I love this, they have telephones in the commode.
Wonderful.
So I'm taking a nice number two, and the phone rings. And I go, hello, it's Rob. I mean, we've been in the hotel 3 minutes. We've checked it already. He's calling me. He goes, turn on channel two. I said, I can't. I'm taking a crap right now. He says, you're on channel two. Turn on channel two. So I get done with my nice BM. I go sit on the foot of the bed and turn the TV on. And damn if the boy's not right.
Right.
On the in-house channel where they're promoting Phyllis Diller and Jack Jones.
That show we didn't get a chance to see. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah. While they're promoting all of this, at one point, our picture comes up.
Right.
And the guy says, and tonight, in the Silver Legacy Lounge, national radio stars Don and Mike doing their Las Vegas-style show. Join us Monday night for The Beach Boys.
Yeah, they were, and we were in the, on the big tell screen, like in the lobby area where they had all the casino slot machines. It was funny. It was weird. It was a surreal weekend.
Very much so.
It was funny. We had a great time. I hope everybody who came to the shows had a great time. Let's, you know, let's do see what the folks have to say. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I got to say, that was the most funniest show I've seen Friday night in Sacramento.
It was a good one.
That's what we want to use in the literature, the most funniest time you can have. The most
Man. I was just wondering if you took Grant Napier's mom with you back home.
Yeah, we had some kind words from some of our enemies out in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Now, listen, let's keep some of those things private, but
there's a reason we do those things on stage, sir.
Suffice
okay,
to
say. Okay. So and I got to say that I've never seen so many naked people in my life. It was great.
Yep, there was tons of them. And one of them was Estelle Napier.
Yes.
Estelle, you pigeon. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hello.
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 Hi, I'm from Reno.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Great. Great.
I just wanted to tell you that it was absolutely wonderful, and you got, I was so starstruck. I ended up running into you guys after the show. And, Mike, I apologize for maybe scaring you and stalking you, and I chased you down and asked you if I could buy you a drink.
Oh, I remember you. Remember when, I remember, guys, when we when I was with Mike West from the radio station, and we were going to see Jim and
separated.
Jim, the two guys that I had played golf with, and right. So we separated. You guys went up the escalator, and then Jim and I started to head back down to the restaurant where we were going to meet this. And this lady did make me jump a little bit.
I know.
She came out, I didn't see it. You came out of nowhere, and I think she had you had shaken hands with Don.
My husband shook hands with Don, and then I
on the way by. And it was, you know what? The second part, it only happened twice. There were a couple of people that waved and said hello, but the only people that I actually walked with both did it the exact same way. Where I walked by them, they recognized me from the show, and then they ran up alongside and matched my gait, and then we're right there and go, Mike! And it was just, I went 2 feet up in the air, and you made a very nice offer of buy a drink, and I don't know what I said. I was kind of burned out at that time.
You were going to go tour the town.
Is that what I said?
Well, I think that's actually what Mr. West said.
Yeah, because I think really, if you'd written down what I said, it came out like,
both my husband and I just wanted to tell you guys that we felt so honored just to be in your presence.
Oh, knock that off, please. Knock it off.
I'm so starstruck. It's incredible.
Please, get out of here. Please.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, Don and Mike, Asparagus Festival gods.
Hey, listen, you would not believe the hype the goddamn Asparagus Festival had.
Gave us our monologue, that's for sure.
In Sacramento, we're watching the 5 o'clock news on Friday.
Duologue.
And it's the lead story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everything bad about television was encompassed in the Channel 13, Channel 3, all the stations have coverage of this. We're out here, I want to tell you something. We're proud of our asparagus in Sacramento. And if you come out this weekend, you can have asparagus margaritas.
You can have deep fried asparagus. We take the asparagus and deep fry it and then sprinkle it with salt and Parmesan cheese.
Kids love asparagus. Oldsters, youngsters in between. Say, Miss, see, you're going to be in the celebrity chef segment tonight. Aren't you out here at the Asparagus Festival?
Hey, watching the local news cover this Asparagus Festival, it's the reason on this show why we think all local TV anchors are actually aliens from a killer planet, and they're all eventually going to eat our heads.
And let's face it, we are all watching the news because we were waiting for, you know, dun, 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 action news. Our live team tonight brings you coverage of the biggest story ever, Don and Biker in town.
No, not with the Asparagus Festival.
No.
They were very, very happy to put all their best reporters out there at the Asparagus Festival. I mean, helicopter shots of the half-empty parking lot, which amazed me. And then, you know, the interviews with the children, you know, and then frankly, kids, I mean, I understand, like, a six-year-old, if they're not going to be real thrilled about asparagus. And they were putting asparagus in everything, but they said that out of the 9 tons of asparagus, you know, this is how pathetic I am. I watch this stuff.
Oh, we all did.
Out of the 9 tons of asparagus that they served, that they would serve that weekend at the asparagus festival, 7 tons of it is deep fried. That's how it's eaten.
Huh.
It's fried, you know, which goes to show, I mean, I love asparagus, don't get me wrong, but you can fry anything, and that's what people are going to like.
Fry it. Bring the kids out. They're going to like the asparagus slide.
The Titanic slide.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a Stockton thing, but I was up front at your Sacramento show.
Well, hold on. The Asparagus Festival might have been in Stockton, but
it's in Sacramento. Yeah, it's a Sacramento thing.
Yeah.
Mike brought up the funniest piece of happy talk between the anchors when they finally, for the 8th time after they do traffic getting to the festival, weather at the festival, they throw it to the reporter, and he says, "Hey, Marianne, back in the studio, guess how much asparagus they've got here?" And they said, "How much?" He said, 9 tons of the stuff.
They were really into quantity. One of the reporters went over to the big vat, and it was right after that 9 tons, and he said, how much came in this trunk? And the guy's like, "Oh, that's like 700 pounds. Wow, it's half empty now.
700 pounds of the stuff."
Sacramento is a beautiful city, a gigantic city.
It's an agriculture. I mean, when you're flying in there from Los Angeles, you get a real perspective on just how much they grow for the rest of the country.
Come on, Jesus Christ, that's why they get such a bad rap around the country. I mean, can you imagine? You go to Sacramento, which, from my understanding, they're farms and stuff, but the city itself is rather cosmopolitan.
Well, yeah, you got lots going on. You got the Kings, you got great restaurants, you got great wine.
Yeah. You turn the TV on, though, and how many people did you see walking around? Did you see the little pins?
Yeah, the asparagus pins.
Asparagus festival pins.
I think everyone in Sacramento and the outlying areas, Stockton, everywhere, they were going to enjoy some time at the asparagus festival.
Somebody can, your key stink.
It does. Yes, it does. We're wondering what the sewers are going to smell like on Saturday morning.
You know, it was amazing that during all the TV coverage of the Asparagus Festival, you never once heard that it makes your pee smell. And, of course, we weren't on stage less than 5 seconds before we made reference to your pee smelling at the Asparagus Festival.
Hold on.
I was just going to make some observations real quick.
Okay, hold on just one second. I just got to tell you, the guy from KHTK, right before we're going on stage, I don't know which guy it was, but it was Mike Remy, the program director, who incidentally has teeth like William Devane.
He does indeed.
Big, gigantic choppers. They might be fake.
He's got that polite, cordial relationship with us, you know, that shake the hands, "Hi, boys."
He pulls me aside and he says, "I think you'll do between 10,000 and 13,000 tonight." Said, "Bad snafu with the Asparagus Festival in town tonight."
Which really, what a vote of confidence.
I went, okay, I understand. There's not going to be 18,000 people because of the goddamn asparagus.
Right. Like 12,000.
You guys filled that place. The only place that wasn't left was the grass.
It was absolutely, and there were some people sitting on the grass, too. It was absolutely a wonderful throng. I mean, we are delighted to get that many people. We were happy. We used to be happy we'd get 50 people to come out to one of these things.
All right, so anyway, what did you want? Go ahead.
My observations, real quick.
Yes.
Of that show. Mike actually has a dirtier mouth than Don. Robbie loves his cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz does have weed.
No.
I was surprised to see Lisa, and she is a fine POA.
Yes. Yep.
There's a lot of boobs, but not much bush and cigars. No cigars. And
wait a minute, sir. Now,
hold on a second.
If you're going to give us your observations, express them in a way that we can understand. You said not much bush, and then you said and cigars. So there weren't cigars, or there? What is your point? I don't know. I'm totally
the cigar contest.
Oh no, we dropped that.
No, we don't do that.
That was a Clinton thing.
Old news.
And one last thing, while I left, I was behind your limo, and it pulled over at one point, and somebody in the back.
Hey, wait, you know, sir, I know you want to keep talking, but it's shocker that you were right behind our limo.
But anyway.
I was just saying somebody pulled over and was spitting up.
No.
Never happened.
You guys?
No, it was not. No.
Okay.
Followed the wrong limo.
Yeah, you stalked the wrong limo.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks for your observation.
Great show, though.
Right.
And you guys are the best.
all our vomiting was in the car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to my knowledge, I mean, show of hands, was there any? Did anyone vomit?
No.
During the weekend?
No. The closest, I think, was Saturday morning. We did have a bucket for Lisa, just in case.
Yeah, we had a bucket, but she never needed it.
Once she ate her donut and she put her Feel Better hat on,
right?
The hat is what did it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, guys. Awesome show.
Thanks.
Hey, the highlight for me is when they closed the bathrooms on the whole one side of the amphitheater, and, man, I had to go so bad I pissed. I got back into the crowd. But, man, you guys are just awesome.
Oh, good. Good highlight. Thank you for that. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Can I tell you, man, that show in Sacramento was kick A.
Glad you had a good time.
Hey, by the way, this is Scott from Sacramento. What's up, man? Why'd you guys have to get off at 10 o'clock at night? Come on.
All right, now listen, that was not our choice. I want to tell you what happened. The people from KHTK, the radio station, and you know it's a habit. They enjoy cutting the show off every day at 4 o'clock.
Right.
When we got there, we got to the place like at 6:30. We got there an hour and a half before the show. We were going to go on at 8. Normally our shows go about 2.5 hours. They had. The morning show was there doing a wet T-shirt contest.
Right.
They went on at 7:30. So the people from KHTK came back to us and said, you guys got to be off the stage by 10:30
or they would be charged.
Or they'd be charged. And we said, okay.
Radio stations don't like to be charged for anything.
We said, okay, fine. We went out. We did about an hour and a half. We were sitting back there taking our break while we're getting girls for the underwear fashion show. And someone came back and said, you know what? We're going to be charged if you go past 10:15.
Yeah, that was the last second change there. So
because technically the station started using the stage at 7:15.
So that's when we got it together, hustled out there, and that's the reason we had to do that, sir.
We would have lingered. We would have lingered longer.
That stinks. I wish you guys come back pretty soon. Hey, next time you come back, please bring Lisa.
She was with us.
Yes.
Oh, I got
Later.
It. You're like...
Later, bye.
Okay,
Later.
Bye. Okay, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's all coming back to me.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to tell you, you guys are great, but the best part of the show was when Mike asked that one gal, how many tattoos you have? Oh, I lost count.
Yeah, boy, there was one lady who was
a circus performer.
I have never seen, I mean, and Pierce, too, right? She had Pierce.
How many piercings do you have, ma'am? Oh, I lost count.
She lost count of both her tattoos and her piercings.
Yeah, and she was almost gross when she was naked on stage because she had so many tattoos.
It was really more like where was she not tattooed than where was she tattooed.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Was down there at the show, drove all the way from Benicia and Martinez. It was an awesome show, worth every mile to go there to see you guys.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice.
Lisa is a babe.
Listen to all these horn dogs.
Yeah, a lot of horn dogs come out to our show.
Sure. Hey, you guys talk about her all the time. She is just a hottie.
Yes, a very attractive lady.
But, hey, man, we had a great time. You guys are so awesome. And you know what? Tell everybody to call KHTK because I got to hear that show all the way through. I never get to hear it. You guys cut off the last minute. I want to hear Buzz's news. Tell everyone to call KHTK to get you guys all the way through. I want to hear the whole show.
All right. Thank you, my friend. That's a wonderful segment. Thank you for coming out. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Homo Joe here, Don and Mike.
Homo Joe, are you bleeding from the rectum?
No, not at all. Why?
All right, Homo Joe, I have a question for you.
Yes.
And it concerns Saturday night's Reno show. Homo Joe is a great organizer, and he organizes the underwear fashion show. And one of his tasks for this is to write down the names of all the contestants, something he does beautifully.
Yeah. He's organized. It's a gay thing. Very organized.
Up until the Reno show. Something happened. Homo Joe, I want to know, did you suffer some sort of stroke or aneurysm on Saturday night with your ability to write names down on a piece of paper?
I will have to tell you, from Thursday night to Saturday night, I had 6 hours sleep.
Really?
All right.
So I was hurting.
Ah. I bet you were hurt. Where were you hurting, Joe?
It was just
my body.
You know, you're a smart guy, wealthy man, as we've determined, and it was just that from brain to pen, it was kind of getting a little crazy there.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad by the time the show was getting over with.
Do you have any gay sex?
Not in Reno. I had to sleep with J.J. McKay.
Oh! From the Portland station?
From the Portland station, yes. And she did a Dutch oven in the covers. That was gross.
You slept with the general manager from our station in Portland, Oregon?
Yes, because she did not have a room, so I...